Well, Ross, welcome back.
Thank you.
Glad to have you back. We had a lot of good comments about our last conversation.
Yes.
People who watched it, not only in the church, but other places. So I think this is going to be something people will look forward to, another conversation with Ross.
Yes.
And you gave me a little bit of a heads up on what you wanted to talk about today.
Yes, sir.
Really piqued my interest because this is a topic that everyone is going to be curious about.
Yes.
That everyone wants to get better at.
Yes.
So would you like to go ahead and bring the point of conversation you want to bring today?
Yeah. So the question that just kind of dropped in my heart that I wanted to share, ask you about, let me just preface it by this. I hadn't been here long, but I've been a member for a month. And I'm so excited to come and hear because I'm learning so much. And, you know, been in the church a long time, called into the ministry, ordained in the Baptist church. But I'm learning so much, and it's exciting because God is so real.
Amen.
And I believe God is present with us. So one of the big questions that I needed some input and some guidance on to just kind of help clear things up for me is, how does God speak to us? And I know he speaks to everybody differently, but I do know that John 4:24, God is a spirit. I do know 2 Corinthians 3:17, we are spirits. I guess in Jeremiah, I knew you before the foundation of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what did God know? God knew our spirits. I think spirits are eternally. They're neither created nor destroyed.
Amen.
Some spirits will go to stay with their Lord,
mm-hmm.
Jesus. The others will go with their Lord, Satan.
Mm-hmm.
But we are spirits. God is a spirit. So I believe when he speaks to our spirit. Now, sometimes our mind, feelings, emotions might get in the way
mm-hmm.
from you hearing clearly from your spirit. But I just wanted you to kind of give me some guidance. And I'm sure God speaks in different ways. I'll be honest with you. I remember we were at Grambling State University. My best friend from kindergarten had a college ministry, and they were having a Mardi Gras thing in the spring. And so we were out witnessing.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking for a scripture, and I couldn't find it. And a breeze came and put the pages right on the page that I needed to share what it was I was trying to share. And so that was God speaking. I know it, and you know, I thought it was amazing, but the longer I live, the more I'm finding out God is amazing. And so just wanted some guidance about how God speaks
mm-hmm.
to us. One of the realities is people lie on God all the time from the pulpit. You know, God said this, and God hadn't said that
mm-hmm.
Because God can't lie. If God said it, it's going to happen, period. Sometimes it's a ploy of manipulation. I think oftentimes in marriages, you know, a man may say, well, God told me to say this and you're supposed to do this. And again, just another ploy of manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
So as our overseer, our under shepherd, what's the guidance you have for your flock and on how to hear God?
So you brought up some important points. We'll start with the one where you spoke the truth that we are spirits.
Yes.
So we're created in the image and likeness of God. God is a spirit. We are a spirit. And I do believe that we have a beginning. You know, Adam had a beginning.
Mm-hmm.
He was created. But you're right. What God calls into being is eternal. And so our spirit cannot be destroyed. That's true. That's one of the reasons we have a doctrine that you referred to of eternal conscious punishment for people who refuse to submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
They're punished eternally because they're away from the life-giving presence of God by their own choosing. And yet, because God has, they've been brought into existence and God has designed things such that the human spirit, once it comes into existence, is eternal in nature. They have to be kept someplace where they can't ruin his plans to create a utopia on the earth. So, but once we're born again, so we're, our spirit is called into being through the choice of a man and a woman, procreation, and we inherit spiritual death. So once we are convicted of our sin by the Holy Spirit, that's one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit, is to convict the world of sin. That's one of the reasons people hate Christians so much, and Christianity, is because of the guilt that is brought about by the message of Jesus Christ in unbelievers. But once we're born again, God takes up residence. God calls our spirit to life, and he makes a home in us. So the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6 that God's spirit and our spirit become one. This is the point of Jesus' prayer in John 17, that just as you are in me, God, and I am in you, Jesus is praying to God the Father, that they may be one just as we are one. And so once we're born again, our spirit is called to life. God creates something new. He takes up residence within the inside of us. We have all of God we're ever going to have. We permanently live in the presence of God. And so God is always communicating, right? He's always communicating all kinds of things. That the point of Christian discipleship is developing the skill to better partner with the will of God.
Say that one more time. I think that's very, very profound and probably needs to be on every television and radio in the country.
Yeah.
Can you say that, make that statement one more time? Christian discipleship.
Christian discipleship is the training ground where we become more skilled and better equipped to know, to be able to discern the will of God. And so I'm going to say that distinct from like hearing the voice of God.
Okay.
You hear it referred to a lot like that. You know, most people do not hear the voice of God. I think it's more precise to say we discern the will of God, you know, and that's a skill that you can develop. Now, there are gifts of the Holy Spirit that some people receive where they do kind of hear God speaking, like the gift of prophecy, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, these types of things. But even then, it's not like an audible voice. It's a discerning.
Right.
You know? And what the hard part is, and I say this all the time, I believe God is always trying to speak to me. So the problem is that the problem isn't that I lack faith in God speaking. It's that I lack faith in my ability to hear him correctly. And I think there's a healthy amount of humility that all of us need to carry with us, that God is trying to give expression to his will to his people all the time. But every one of us have this thing called self-interest.
Yes.
That will cause us many times to hear things that God isn't communicating, and like you say, attach them to God. Or when we're hearing God, we attach extra things to it that he never intended when he originally said it. And I'll show you some examples of that in scripture. But so the weak part of the link is that part of our being you described, our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions.
Okay.
And so these are the parts of the equation that need to get trained that need to be brought under the yoke of Christian discipleship so that we become better and better skilled at giving expression to the unique thing God's wanting to do through Ross, the unique thing that God's wanting to do through Kendall. I have to discern that, you know, and that's a skill that's developed and acquired over time, you know.
That made me think about something. when I went to Africa,
mm-hmm.
well, no, let me back up. I'm a three-time veteran of foreign wars. And I remember my mother thought I was crazy when I went to officer candidate school and went to the infantry. The first war, I was enlisted. I was a private, and I was a military police. And she said, "You must have lost your mind. Now you want to be an infantry officer." Well, my third tour, my second tour in Afghanistan, I was in church, and oftentimes God speaks to me during praise and worship. You get caught up in the praise and worship. Your hands are lifted. And, you know, maybe you're crying. Maybe you're completely focused on God, and then you can just hear this something inside you. And so what I heard was God is going to take you out of your house and place you in a land that he will show you. Just like the scripture that's in Genesis or Exodus.
Abraham,
yeah. Yes. And so in this one song, because I was fighting my hardest to pass the bar. I had failed it in Alabama. I was taking it in Michigan. And I was divorced at that time. I had to pay child support. And I'm like, I've got to pass the bar exam so I can start making some money so I can not be behind on child support again. And I thought the way I was going to do it, pass the bar, start practicing law. Well, God had another plan. And so doing that, after, I'm going to take you to a land that I will show thee. Inside, I was thinking, but I want to practice law. But then I kind of just felt, not my will.
Mm-hmm.
Thy will be done. God, I'll give you this Juris Doctor degree. And when you're ready for me to practice, then you give it back to me. And so, you know, God and I had this conversation doing praise and worship. And the next thing you know, I'm back in the military. They're sending me to Afghanistan. At the end of the tour in Afghanistan, they called and said, "Bettis, we need somebody to go to Africa for 2 years." I'm like, "I don't know why you're calling me. I'm trying to practice law." Mm-hmm. I was trying to practice law before I got back in the military, before my unit got activated to go to Afghanistan. I said, "But I got to pray over this." And I guess, yeah, as you know, there's a scripture, "Let the peace of God mm-hmm. rule your heart."
Mm-hmm.
And after I prayed over it, and I heard him, or felt him say, "Yep, that's what I want you to do." And so when I got to Africa, I ended up hooking up with an orphanage. And that's when I realized, this is why
mm-hmm.
I had to get you back into the military. This is why I had to get you to Africa. Because James, I can't remember where, maybe James 2 or 3, true religion.
Mm-hmm.
is to minister to the orphans
right.
and the widows in their time of need.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'm in Africa. There's an orphanage of about 50 kids, and they were being supported by a Christian missionary group. And that group had informed the pastor they're getting ready to go to Haiti. And so that was the marriage. And really, I considered it the greatest honor, because that pastor, you know, being African, not American, they don't have Medicaid, Medicare, welfare. They have none of that. If you don't work in Africa, you don't eat.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got 50 kids to feed and to house and to school. And God partnered us up and fed those kids, housed them, and schooled them. And so so I guess what I'm sharing is one of the instances when God spoke to me, and I know he knows how to speak to his children.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so that triggered two thoughts in me.
Okay.
So we're doing the Sermon on the Mount on Sunday mornings right now.
Yes.
The very first step in the Sermon on the Mount is, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they will see God. Hmm. Okay? So in the story that you described, you had your plan for your life. God had a different plan. You had to be willing to let go of something that was very important to you in order to step into the kingdom plans and purposes of God, right? You had to become willing. You had to be willing to become poor in spirit, being willing to open your hand and lose everything, even though you didn't know what was on the other side or why. So blessed are the poor in spirit, for they will see God. God will reveal himself to those who are willing to lose everything. The story of the rich young ruler is the story of a man who is willing to do everything but one thing in order to be saved. And so because he wasn't willing to become poor in spirit, he did not get to participate in the kingdom plans and purposes of God. And right. Jesus says in Mark chapter 10, he says it's so clear. Anyone who leaves family, jobs for me will receive 100-fold in this life and eternal life in the life to come. Jesus had a plan for the rich young ruler that he couldn't execute if he was holding on.
Yes.
To that thing that was keeping him from being willing to be poor in spirit and receive something better God had in store for him, you know? And so the other thing with hearing God and being to step into the plans and purposes of God, I can't remember the preacher's name. He's a famous preacher. He was in like the Righteous Brothers band, but he became a preacher. And he had this saying, faith is spelled R-I-S-K.
Hmm. Wow.
So becoming poor in spirit has this primal risk attached to it, because at the end of the day, we're opening our hands and we're letting go control of our lives and giving our lives over to someone else. And there's a huge risk attached with that. Mm-hmm. And it's really painful. You know, so the next line in the Sermon on the Mount is, I'm kind of preaching my sermon on Sunday. blessed are those who mourn,
right?
For they will be comforted. So whenever we take that risk and let go, it would have been painful for the rich young ruler to sell all of his possessions and give his money away. There ain't no doubt about it. That would have been a difficult, painful thing to do. There would have been a mourning associated with it. But then the next line, they will be comforted. The word is parakaleo. It's how the Holy Spirit is referred to as the divine paraclete in Scripture, because it's based on that Greek word to come alongside of.
Right.
So in the Greek, the insinuation is, if we're willing to become born spirit, God will reveal himself. There's going to be a pain attached to what he's going to ask us to do, because we're going to feel like we're losing something. Mm-hmm. But if we follow through, he will send his Holy Spirit. And the English word is comfort. It's a combination of two words, fortis. Fortis is where we get the word fortress from. In other words, the Holy Spirit is released to our side to bring us God's strength.
Mm-hmm.
You see? You follow through that process, and we're not only hear God, we obey God. He is going to bring us, he's going to take the little puny trash that we bring. We can't see that we're not bringing anything to the equation in a relationship with God but need. And so he's just asking us for our trash. And he's going to bring a supernatural power to do something great in the world. Yes. And so that's why that story you told me is the perfect illustration of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But hearing God, a lot of times, that's what it's like. He's going to call us to some great risk that's going to make us feel very uncomfortable, and it will be painful.
Mm-hmm.
But the end result is God's going to do something powerful for the kingdom, you know.
Amen. I think that's not a popular message. That doesn't tickle people's hearts and minds. It's challenging. Nobody wants to lose. You know, we're Americans. We want to win.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we're so short-sighted that we don't see that we will win.
Yeah.
That we do have the victory in Christ. God is trying to get us to the ultimate victory. And even in this situation, we think we're losing. You're not even losing.
Right.
You're being rid of some weights,
yep,
that are slowing you down from accomplishing that thing that God wants you to accomplish. And mm-hmm. I guess you preached that Sunday kind of perfectly.
Yeah, and the hard part is, how do I know? People want to know for sure that they're mm-hmm. hearing God correctly,
mm-hmm.
you know? And that's the hard part about hearing and then obeying. I've seen so many people, like you mentioned, miss it.
Mm-hmm.
I've missed it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I know I've heard from God at times, and boom, it happens, and it's crazy. But how you never know for sure, and that's why there's risk involved.
Mm-hmm.
It's a risk because I kind of feel like this is what God's wanting to do. I'm not 100% sure, and so how do you know? You know? And so there's a lot of different ways that we can get tripped up and falter and not make the progress that God wants us to make, because people want certainty.
Mm-hmm.
And God has designed things so that only faith, which has risk mm-hmm. built into it,
ooh,
will produce God's power being released into the circumstances. You're going to have to do it before you know for sure. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, right?
Yes.
So that risk is built into the equation, and you're never going to be 100% sure, you know? And it's designed that way.
Well, and so I don't know how much time we have left. That made me think about all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And in the clergy,
mm-hmm.
there are some people that consider themselves good God preachers. They don't believe in negative stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I've watched my prior pastor kind of transition from a good God preacher to understand that some of the things that happen necessarily to get you to the place that God wants you, which is complete dependency upon him, not depending on mammon
mm-hmm.
or money or stuff or retirement, but depending on God.
Hmm. And that, the breaking down process, but you know, that's implicit in the core idea of Christianity. The fundamental idea of Christianity is Jesus' instructions to his disciples. Mm-hmm. If anyone would come after me, he must first be willing to take up his cross and follow me. Anyone who's willing to lose their life will save it. anyone who's not willing to lose their life will forfeit it. You know, these ideas. Suffering is a non-optional part of the equation. And, you know, the very thing that clouds our ability to hear God, which is self-interest, selfishness, you know, I want to hear things from God that are going to benefit me. So if God does speak to me, again, my natural inclination is I'm going to twist that somehow to where it works to my advantage. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
Which is what you're doing. And we all have that almost irresistible component to our soul, mm-hmm. our carnal man. Selfishness is an extremely powerful force in every one of us. Mm-hmm. And so the bad things, the bad God sermons, are about God's desire to destroy selfishness, living for self-interest, which is what corrupts everything on the earth. It corrupts governments, it corrupts marriages, it corrupts businesses. Prisons are full of people who are driven by self, purely self-interest. And so God is determined to destroy that, and the process is going to be very uncomfortable and many times it, some of us are so self-willed and committed to our selfishness and mm-hmm. narcissistic tendencies that God will allow some really bad things to happen to take us through the fire.
Yes.
So that he can bring us into the inheritance that he wants to, for us to, that he wants to share with us. So,
you know, the scripture, the spirit is willing, mm-hmm. but the flesh is weak.
Yeah.
Matthew 26, 40-43. So the 40th verse, then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So I guess that's with the selfishness, that's the weakness mm-hmm. of the flesh.
Jesus had expressed his will to his disciples to pray with him.
Yes.
So it wasn't like, I don't know if I'm hearing God. No, God spoke to you.
Yeah.
And because of their flesh, they weren't able to follow through
yes.
With those instructions. And that's the perfect example. God's going to speak to people all the time. And maybe sometimes he doesn't speak because he knows you're not ready to hear it yet,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you know? And so it goes back to Christian discipleship. The number one thing we can do to hear God's voice clearly is to be committed at the Christian disciplines. You know, God has already spoken to us primarily through his word. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a Captain Obvious statement, mm-hmm. I know, but the more skilled we become at understanding the word of God, the better we're going to be able to discern with more clarity what God's will is. And then even when we're certain we know God's will, that needs to be given expression within the body of Christ so that others can help us learn to understand not only what God said, but what that means. And you've got plenty of examples of that in Scripture.
Right.
There's an example in Acts chapter 20, where Paul, it's been revealed to Paul that he's to go to Jerusalem and that chains and imprisonment are awaiting him there. Mm-hmm. So Paul knows that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to Jerusalem anyway. You know, he says, I'm constrained by the Holy Spirit. So God has expressed his will by giving Paul this unction. And then in the very next chapter, God speaks to a prophet named Agabus. Agabus reveals to Paul and other believers that God has told him that chains and imprisonment are awaiting Paul in Jerusalem and that he's not supposed to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so it says they pleaded with Paul not to go to Jerusalem because God spoke that chains and imprisonment were waiting him there, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Paul is hearing God correctly. They're both hearing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They both have different opinions about what to do.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And so, But that process is important. Paul winds up continuing on to Jerusalem. He does get imprisoned. But once again, there are four books of the New Testament that would not have been written if Paul had not been committed to that isolation in that period of imprisonment.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so it's, you know, and it says that in the book of 1 Corinthians as well, 14, that when the gifts of the Holy Spirit are functioning and people are prophesying, do it in an orderly way and then let others weigh what is said. So this is something people who have that gift of hearing God clearly and the more skilled you become at it, that still doesn't mean that you know it all. God told me you're supposed to sell me your church for blah, blah, blah.
Right.
It's not how it works.
Right.
You know, we submit this to others. We let them weigh in on it and determine what ought to be done about it. Because God has built, baked into the equation, not only our need for God, but our need for others. And that's one of the things that ties us together in community and relationship, mm-hmm. is my need for you, your need for me. And God wants others to share in whatever he's revealing. It's something that he wants to do to bring people together, you know.
That makes me think. So before the pandemic, I was streaming my church services at my church, and it's maybe about 3 or 4 months ago, pastor said, and it just hit me like that was for you. He said, a lot of you have been streaming, which is good, but don't forsake the gathering of yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for some of you guys to get back in church.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that was for me. It resonated with my spirit, kind of like you take a guitar and you grab the
mm-hmm.
string
mm-hmm.
and it makes the sound because you grab that string. It's like it hits your tone or your tune. And you know that it's time.
Mm-hmm. And there's a verse in 1 John. God's spirit bears witness with your spirit that we're children of God. But that principle applies to other things. You know, there's an inner knowing in our gut, you know. Jesus says out of your innermost man, what it literally means is out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. And so, you know, I tend to kind of feel that witness in my gut,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's a real thing. And, you know, sometimes people get discouraged from believing they can hear God because they do feel like God has spoken to them and that thing didn't happen or it didn't go the way that they saw it happening. And so they get discouraged. But whenever God speaks, you know, it's rarely some kind of a promise. It's usually an invitation. God is revealing he wants to do something. And there are lots of things that have to come together for that thing to come to fruition. You know, you have to do your part. Other people have to do their parts. And so sometimes that thing, God really might wanted to have done something, but people weren't willing to get in agreement with him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we shouldn't be discouraged if we really feel like we were discerning God's will and that thing doesn't happen. Well, that's going to be normal. Jesus in the garden is praying, Father, please let this cup pass from me.
Yes.
Yet not my will, but thy will be done.
Yes.
The thing that Jesus wanted to happen.
Yes.
Did not happen.
Yes.
You know? So that's just a part of discipleship, but all things being equal, continuing steady and faithful will bring about my skill to communicate the will of God to others in ways that bears witness with their spirit. You know, it's like anytime you start anything new, like a sport, you're going to stink at it at first and people are going to beat you
mm-hmm.
all the time. But the longer you stick with it, the more you learn the skills, the more you learn how to win and the more good results happen. So that's, a lot of that's kind of how discerning the will of God works in the same kind of a way. Nobody's good at it at first.
Right.
Everybody hears God telling them, crazy things
right.
early on until they mature and
right.
and get more sophisticated in right. In things. So
I know we're over the 30, you think, or
well, yeah. this camera will keep going forever.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah, no matter how long the conversations
okay.
go.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Okay. All right. Well, I think that kind of answers it. God's speech usually is an invitation.
Yeah.
That you either have to accept or not accept. And the continuing, steady, faithful will bring about ways to bear witness with their spit. Well, help me with that. So I was writing your name. Continuing, steady, and faithful
mm-hmm.
will bring about.
Will become more skilled and sophisticated at communicating God's will to others. And here's the thing, Ross, you're going to hear God in ways that I don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I'm going to need to hear from God through you because mm-hmm. you can see things that I can't,
mm-hmm.
you know, but if you come at me crazy in some kind of a weird way,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to be less likely to receive it,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know? And so the more sophisticated and skilled we get at not only hearing the voice of God, but then communicating it to others, it increases what God is going to be capable to do within our community.
Okay.
You know? So in our communication, what one of the things I'm doing is destroying the unbelief in you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So even though the Bible says Jesus could work no miracles in a certain place because of their unbelief.
Uh-huh.
So becoming more skilled in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, knowing how to communicate love to others, and then growing in our knowledge and understanding of human relationships is kind of an important thing about seeing that the will of God comes to fruition within the spheres of influence where God places us. Because, mm-hmm. you know, it's like God wanted you to go to Africa,
mm-hmm.
help
mm-hmm.
with that orphanage.
Mm-hmm.
You had to earn their trust,
mm-hmm.
right? They had to earn your trust
yes.
in order to do the things that God did through and with you there.
Yes.
And so that's usually how God is working. He's bringing people together to work on things that bring about a better world for everyone, you know?
You know, saying that, I'm from Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
I spent 10 years in Michigan and everywhere else, but I didn't choose Hobbs.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't choose Hobbs.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think Hobbs is a beautiful, unique community. I think it's unique like none other. But I didn't choose Hobbs. I believe God chose Hobbs.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm starting to believe he's just now starting to reveal why
mm-hmm.
he wants me here. And I'm learning not to be anxious.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep walking
mm-hmm.
Heel to toe, and God will slowly reveal it when the time is yet.
Yeah, and
you come someplace for one reason that you think of.
Yep.
And God already knows that's not why I'm sending him there. But, you know, that gets him there initially, but there's something else
yeah.
that I'm going to do with him there. So
I've seen that work in my life many times as well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it took me the longest time to submit to ordination in the United Methodist Church.
Hmm.
I was just ordained in 2019 by the United Methodist Church. Because as a younger man, the last thing I wanted was some bureaucratic clergy person handing control of my ministry over to some bureaucratic clergy person that was going to make me move to the middle of nowhere, West Texas. And so, you know, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
But those were five of the best years of my life.
Yes.
You know? And so being willing to be poor in spirit, being willing to say, not my will, but thy will be done, you know, being willing to be poor in spirit opens the door for God to bring you some of the best blessings you never would have received following your own game plan, you know?
I do. I think we're brothers. Give the parallel of that. I was at Tuskegee. I was in ROTC, doing well in ROTC. I think they do a peer evaluation at the MS 3 year, military science 3 year, your junior year. And I may have been number one or two or three. Anyway, in my mind, you know, as you're being introduced into the officer system of the military, the commissioned officers, they started sharing with us OERs, officer evaluation records. And I think it's very subjective. But I said to myself in my junior year, I don't want to be a part of a system where mm-hmm. my commanding officer does an OER on me, and maybe he doesn't like me because I didn't want to go to his house and drink beer. I didn't want to go to this social function, and, you know, and I'm going to subject my career to this. I'm like, I don't want to be part of that system. So I got out of the ROTC, says, mm-hmm. no, I want to control my life. And in my senior year, my National Guard unit gets activated. I'm headed to Iraq. So it doesn't matter what you right. want to do. God has his plan.
Yep.
And he knows how to lead and guide his children.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, that's the best thing that ever happened to me. I got saved mm-hmm. in northern Saudi Arabia. The Air Force was bombing Kuwait and that border with Iraq, and the ground was shaking. And, you know, I realized that if I stole the airplane, I couldn't fly it. If I could fly and I stole, I wouldn't be able to refuel it and get all the way back. There was nothing I could do in my power other than submit to being a soldier in the war and doing my best.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way I would get back is when God said, now it's over. It's time for you to go back home.
Yeah. And, you know, it's also true. You can have the clearest vision in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But you cannot protect that vision from what other people are going to do to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there are people who try and protect their vision like crazy, but other people are going to put their stamp on that vision. And that's a part of God's plan, you know, whether mm-hmm. it's our lives, our decisions, our careers, it's all shared property, you know?
It is.
So...
it is, you know, Jesus redeemed us
mm-hmm.
from destruction, so he owns us.
Yep.
We are not our own.
That's right.
So have thy way, Lord.
Let thy will be done, and that's a scary thing to pray a lot of times.
Yeah.
It says explicitly in the Bible, Peter, when you were a young man, you did what you wanted to do, but there's going to come a day where mm-hmm. your hands will be bound and God will take you places you don't want to go. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's amazing.
So, yeah. Amen. Well, thanks, Ross.
Yes, sir.
Great conversation.
Yes, sir.
Many more to come, I'm sure.
Yes, sir.
You know, we haven't answered all the questions in the world, but I think that conversation is going to be helpful to people just learning to think about things in a little different light. You know, hearing from God is a very dynamic, participatory process that is going to take great courage at the end of the day, not only to hear, but then to step out on it. But that's where the supernatural power of God is released. Not when we hear God.
Yes.
When we begin stepping out in obedience.
Yes.
And taking the risks and suffering the loss that comes with it a lot of time. Mm-hmm. But that's what releases the power. And God's power is amazing. So,
amen.
Amen.
I can only imagine Noah.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody said he has lost his mm-hmm. freaking mind building a boat in the desert.
Yep.
And look at how large it is. They probably wanted to commit him to the, I don't know what it's called, but they used to have a mental.
Insane asylum?
Here. Yeah. Well, insane asylum. Yeah. Commit him for 30-day evaluation to see has he lost it.
Mm-hmm.
But all the while, he's hearing from God, and he's acting on it, and he's doing exactly what God told him to do.
Yep. Mm. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Pastor.
Thank you.